Good morning and happy new year to all listeners of the Grace Hour broadcast. As we commence this 59th year of the life of this radio program, it is fitting that we give honor and glory to God and special thanks to the member churches of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica that has sponsored the broadcast over the years. I would like to express gratitude to God for raising up and gifting the speakers who spoke during the past year. I also would like to take this opportunity to commend our brother and long-serving broadcast host, Elder Nigel Wilkinson, who last October received the Sterling Gospel Music Award for Excellence. He epitomizes excellence and humility as he constantly gives his best, not only in broadcasting, but in all areas of his life and ministry. The theme of the MCAJ conference year 2022-2023 is Embracing Revival, Serving Christ with Excellence. I will be speaking with this theme in mind over the next 9 weeks. The book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament will be my focus during this period. Today, I will contextualize the theme as part of the foundation and background of the series. The two-pronged theme, on the one hand, captures the need for renewal, rebuilding, and restoration, all of which are inherent in the essence of revival. There is more to it, though, because effective revival not only focuses on what has been in order to regain it, but on what could be in order to attain it. It therefore is multifaceted in perspective, looking backwards as well as looking forward. The greatest revival that ever occurred took place at Pentecost in AD 33, 50 days after the Jewish festival of Passover and the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It reflected previous revivals, such as that which ensued following the slaying by Elijah of the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, which caused the backsliding people of Israel gathered there to declare, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." 1 Kings 18:39. Another significant revival took place shortly after Samuel started his career as a judge and priest of the nation. Young Samuel appealed to the Israelites to seek God. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistine." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. 1 Samuel 7:3-4. In response to Samuel's prayer on behalf of the nation, God Himself defeated the Philistine as they were about to unleash another war of attrition against the nation. Neither of these Old Testament revivals resulted in permanent and lasting change in the attitudes and behaviors of the children of Israel. The deportation of Israelites in the northern kingdom by the Assyrian emperor and the exile of the southern kingdom of Judah in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar undoubtedly proved this. The revival that began at Pentecost was different. It brought about radical transformation, resulted in new births, fostered an unparalleled commitment to the key tenets of the faith, such as genuine Christian love, fellowship, and the development of an unprecedented community of believers that cared for one another. Above all, the revival resulted in missionary and evangelistic zeal that drove the ever-growing number of Christ followers to spread the gospel all over the then-known world, regardless of the cost to their own lives. This is the kind of revival that is conceived in the theme, Embracing Revival, Serving Christ with Excellence. Many Christian theologians have sought to define the term revival. God's quickening visitation of his people, touching their hearts and deepening his work of grace in their lives, J.I. Packer. The sovereign act of God, in which he restores his own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience, Stephen Alford. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, Acts 3:19, J. Edwin Orr. An extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit, producing extraordinary results, Richard Owen Roberts. A common thread throughout these definitions is the fact that revival is a God thing that is humanly mediated. While God is the author and the giver of revival, human action is a necessity. This is nowhere more clearly illustrated than in the formula for revival given by God himself in the words, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. The conditional statement, "if my people," says it all. God will act in revival when his people meet stipulated conditions, humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. The greatest revival of all time, which manifested on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, had the key elements of these requirements. In Acts chapter 1, something happened that is perhaps overlooked by the less than discerning reader. The disciples of Jesus heard him reiterate the promise of the Holy Spirit. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts 1 verse 8. They witnessed his ascension. Acts 1 9 to 11. Then they returned to Jerusalem, not to sit and wait, but to be actively engaged. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his disciples. Acts 1, 12 to 14. The most significant of these verses is verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Two of these disciples, James and John, had previously exhibited worldly ambition, evoking jealousy and discontent among their colleagues by wanting the foremost places of honor in the coming messianic kingdom, Matthew 20, 20-25. The brothers of Jesus were there. They had the wrong notions about him, thinking that he was out of his mind, Mark 3, verse 21. Then notice that the women were also in that upper room prayer meeting. Past scores had to be settled, biases disavowed, and gender questions settled. Only that approach, which mirrored the requirements of 2 Chronicles 7:14, could meet the conditions for revival. No doubt they fasted, remembering well the words of Jesus, "when you fast," Matthew 6 verse 16, and Jesus' words, "however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting," Matthew 17, 21. The oneness of accord that resulted from this upper room prayer meeting obviously set the tone for Acts 2, which records the great revival that started on the day of Pentecost. Embracing revival means accepting the need for it willingly and enthusiastically, recognizing that without a revival, the church will sink into apathy, spiritual dullness, and ineffectiveness. It will be like the salt that has lost its savor and the light that is covered under a bushel. Matthew 5, verse 13 and verse 15. Above all else, revival means change. As human beings, we naturally resist change. We like the same old, which inhibits and prevents the positive change that we so desperately need. To embrace revival, it is necessary to be open to change and to be ready for transformation so that we can be change agents in a world where darkness is perceived as light and light as darkness. A world where corruption is rife, falsehood prevails, and integrity is scorned. The other aspect of the theme, serving Christ with excellence, simply calls for giving of our best, using all that we have been endowed with in serving Christ. This is excellence, and it should be the hallmark of every Christian, every Christ follower. Otherwise, it is a contradiction of terms, as believers were first dubbed Christians, Christ followers, because they mirrored the lifestyle of the Master. Acts 11, verse 6. The lifestyle of Jesus demonstrated that excellence is what we are called to mirror. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Mark 7, verse 37. In words and actions, Jesus' life was excellent. His followers must likewise be excellent in their endeavors. The Jamaican church needs to embrace revival. Denominations need to embrace revival. And individual churches across this land must begin to hunger for a move of God in these evil days. If you are listening and you're not a Christian, I encourage you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Next week, compassion in action. What breaks your heart?